And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive unto the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto him, unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul, which will not hear that prophet, shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities.
Amen. All right, so we're going to be preaching tonight. We're going to finish the message we began Sunday night. And so Acts chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse 40. So if you would stand to your feet here tonight as we read God's Word, we want to make sure that we honor that as we read it tonight. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation, that they that gladly receive his word were baptized the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continually daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name tonight. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the grace of God. We thank you for the church tonight, dear God, here in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, Father, and you empowered your church, your body. And so tonight, God, we come to you, Lord, just thanking you, praising you for you not only dying on the cross, for the cross of Calvary for the sins of your people tonight, Lord, but for filling us with your Spirit. I pray now, Lord, that we would save ourselves from this untoward generation. God, I pray you give us the help and strength to do so. God, help us tonight, Lord, as we hear your word, that we'll take it tonight as truth. God, make application, Father, that we may not be overcome. Father, we may not be taken over, Father, by this world and its generation. We love you tonight. Thank you for loving us in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So Sunday night, we began to preach this message about survival in this generation. We took a survey of the generation that we live in according to the Scripture. And the Bible says there in verse 40, we see that phrase, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourselves. That means to deliver or protect, or that means to rescue yourself. We talked about no one's going to rescue you from this generation. No one is. If you don't rescue yourself, you're not rescued. So God's not going to rescue you either. And also, those of them powers, authorities, or those that maybe you think that can or will, they won't because they can't. And so we find the Scripture is saying to us that we have to save ourselves. So all responsibility, 100%, is upon us tonight in this generation. Now, generation means a period. It means an age. It means a time. And so the word untoward there, as we went through this on Sunday, but we'll go briefly over tonight so we can get it. It means a warped period. So that word untoward means warped. And the word warped means twisted out of shape. It means abnormal, or it can mean strange. And so it also means distorted. So that you might hear those terms about our generation today. Boy, it's a strange time we live in. Boy, isn't things abnormal. Well, I tell you, it's twisted out there. I mean, I tell you, everything gets distorted. That's just exactly what untoward means tonight. It means warped. Number two, we realize and recognize that it means perverse. It's a perverse age. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 tells us about a crooked and perverse nation. That word perverse means it means they turn from the truth. It means that they turn aside from the right path. It means they turn to corruption. It means they turn back or reverse direction. So when we think about perverse tonight, and you want to think about untoward generation, which is what it means tonight, it means that they were going right, but now they're going wrong. They were headed in the right direction, but now we're going in the wrong direction. They were headed in a direction that seemed to be honorable. Now they've reversed and going toward the dishonorable direction. That's what that word perverse means. And so not only is it untoward a perverse age and it is a warped period, but it is a evil time. Galatians chapter 1 verse 4 says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil world. So we're not talking about a future evil world. I'm not talking about something of the past. I'm talking about a present evil world. And 1 John 5:19 says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And so we understand the Scripture saying to us tonight that it is lying in wickedness. That we find ourselves in a place of everywhere there's wickedness. And so the Bible also says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And so we find that word perilous there. It means difficult times. It means dangerous times. It means furious times. It means harmful times. It means hurtful times. And so we could run the survey of our time, of our generation. There in Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, we find the word untoward generation. We can describe it tonight very clearly and very plainly that it's a difficult time. It's a dangerous time. It's a time of hurt and pain. Matter of fact, in a nutshell tonight, the word untoward means ungovernable people. People that won't be governed. People will not be told what to do. People will not follow instructions. People will not fall in line. That's what the word untoward generation would mean tonight out of Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. We find that it means disorderly age. That the age in which we're living in tonight, the age that he says we must save ourselves from, is disorderly. There's no order. It's out of order. It's way out of shape. It just seems like it's just getting worse and worse and worse. There seems to be no rules. There seems to be the rules are broken and nobody says anything. It seems like one class can do this, one class can do the same thing, and they find punishment or they don't find punishment. We find it disorderly age. We see we could say it tonight that it's an unteachable society. That's what the word untoward generation would mean. They just don't get it. They don't understand. They're not teachable. They won't receive instruction. They won't take direction. They won't listen to no, and they never accept responsibility. And so we find that the Bible teaches us that we're going to have to save ourselves from this perverse, evil, warped generation. And so that's what our responsibility is. Nobody's going to save you from it. You have to save it from yourself. Now, the word untoward means this. It means not to go toward. Like, not toward God. Untoward, not toward. Not toward God. Not toward Christ. Not toward the church. Not toward the Bible. So what we're talking about is a generation in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, that is a generation that is turning and is bent on not going toward the things of God. Now, you could say, well, that was a generation of yesterday. No, that was a generation of today. You could say, well, that's a generation that's going to come up on the horizon. No. It's the generation of now. If we take all the definitions that we just gave you, all the words and explain to you what they mean tonight, I can have to understand and probably agree tonight that we're living in an untoward generation right now. And so with that agreement tonight, we want to survive it. He says, save yourselves. And so let's talk about number two, not only the scope of this generation or the survey of it, but the survivors of this generation. I want to call them warriors tonight. Because we're in a spiritual battle. And you and I are in a warfare. And so tonight, if you don't just think about yourself as being a warrior, tonight you're going to find yourself getting beat up, getting knocked down, getting put to the side, getting laid aside. Tonight, we as the people of God are told in the Word of God that we are to save ourselves from the untoward generation. So, well, number one, according to the warriors, there's a commander-in-chief. That commander-in-chief is in there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. It says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus to whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. That is the commander-in-chief for all warriors. He's the Lord. He's Christ. He's alive tonight. He's not dead. And so tonight we find that the commander-in-chief is well and alive. And that's whom we serve. And that's whom tonight we give allegiance to. And that's who we surrender to, is the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And for we find tonight the command that He gave. He said to repent. There in verse 37. In verse 38 He says to repent and be baptized. He says in verse 41 that they receive His Word. Verse 41 says that they that gladly received His Word were baptized. The same day there were added to them 3,000 souls. So what was it tonight that they were added to? In verse 47 says, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so tonight, the warriors is the church. The church is the warriors. The warriors is the church. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's how we save ourselves from this untoward generation. Is that we're the church. The church is the survivors. If you're not the church, you won't survive. You say, well, man, listen, how about this world? This world is burning up. This world is coming to a place where even the elements are burned. You know, they're right. The crowd that says there's global warming is right. I heard today they say if something don't take place, we're gonna die in 12 years. I don't know about in 12 years, but I know this. It's gonna get hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter until the world is burned up by one day. Amen? And so when the world comes to an end, it's gonna come to the end with fire. So all the inhabitants in the world are gonna die with it. And so we find tonight the only survivors in this untoward generation is the church. Because it's the church that has repented. It's the church that has received His Word. It's the church that got baptized. It's the church who Jesus is their Lord and their Christ tonight. It's the church tonight that's the survivors. And that's what we preached on Sunday night. I can't go into more detail because we already did, but let me say this. How does the church tonight save itself from the untoward generation? How? Number one, the church continues gathering. Look here in this verse 42. He says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So how do we, the church, save ourselves from this generation that's perverse and wicked and warped? We have to continue to gather around God's Word. The apostles' doctrine is God's Word. You and I tonight, that's the church, must come faithfully. Must come constantly. Must come continually. And we must take our lives and we must have them continue gathering around the Word of God. We have to continue gathering around God's people. It talks about fellowship. You have to have fellowship with God's people in order to survive. You got to be around God's people. You got to have fellowship with them. You can have fellowship with the world if you want to. You can have fellowship with family if you want to. You can have fellowship with friends if you want to. But if you're going to survive this untoward generation, you got to have fellowship with God's people. That's just the way that it is tonight. And not only do we wrap around or gather around God's Word and God's people, but we gather around God's Son. He says the breaking of bread in verse 42. The breaking of bread. And so we as a people tonight must always gather around Jesus. Gather around His death and burial and resurrection. Gather around His Word, His people. Gather around His coming. Gather around all that He's done in the way of works tonight. We've seen that too. Look there in that verse 3. Verse 43 says, "Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." And what did they do? Well, they just looked at what God did. They looked at the works of God. They looked upon what God has accomplished. And they just was around that. They kept on gathering themselves about what God did. And in prayers, we talked about God's time. We talked about around God's time. Hey, God has a time in your day. God has a time when you need to bow down to Him and pray. If we're going to save ourselves from this untoward generation, we're going to have to continue to gather around God's time. God's time at your home. It might be in the morning. It might be in the evening. God's time at church. It's going to be after I get through preaching here, we're going to gather around this altar and pray. At 5 o'clock on Sunday evening, we gather around this altar and pray. Hey, friend, we pray throughout the church. We pray. And you pray, and we pray, y'all pray, we all pray. And that's how we're going to overcome. That's how we're going to survive this untoward generation, is to continue gathering around God's Word, God's people, God's Son, God's work, and God's time. That's how we're going to do it. And that's how they did it. And I notice here, secondly, tonight, the church has got to come together. Verse 44 and verse 45. "And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need." Listen, if we're going to save ourselves from this untoward generation, the church is going to have to come together. Believers are going to have to be united. We can't have you and I believing different doctrines. We can't have different Bibles. We can't have different ideas and different thoughts. No, we have to have, as believers tonight, we got to be united. United in God's Word. United in God's vision. United in God's mission. United. That's how you're going to come to the place where you save yourselves. Not only do the believers are united and they come together, but believers are unselfish. The Bible speaks of there in verse 44. In verse 45, how that they came together, the believers did, but they gave. They wasn't selfish. They were unselfish. They were willing to give of the best. They were willing to give of what they had. They were willing to give so that somebody else who had need could have that lack filled. Amen. Too many of us tonight are so rich, and too many of us tonight have so much, and too many of us tonight are just overflowed with many of things. We've got our garages are full of stuff, our attics are full of stuff, our closets are full of stuff, our cars are full of stuff, our trunks are full of stuff. Hey, we got clothes we haven't worn in a long time. We got shoes we haven't worn forever. We got jewelry sitting in the jewelry box. We got things, friend, that nobody knows, but in storages and places like that. Nobody ever use it. You'll never use it. Hey, friend, well, we got more than we ever deserve tonight. And the Bible says if we're ever going to save ourselves from the untoward generation, we're going to gather ourselves united and unselfish tonight. Unselfish. Unselfish. Believers are uncommon. Tonight, we got to make ourselves uncommon. I don't like the idea of being common, do you? That's like being ordinary. Do you want to be ordinary or peculiar? Do you want to be just like everybody else? You want to be different. You want to be tonight as someone tonight who's the apple of God's eye? Or you just want to be a piece of dirt? I mean, tonight, Lord, we got to make a decision in our lives if we want to save ourselves from the untoward generation. We got to stop being common and become uncommon. That's what they were. I'm talking about the early church. It's been almost 2,000 years now. It's still here. They did something right. I'm telling you what they did in order to save themselves. They come together. They gathered together. The church complemented each other. When you see one, you see them all. When you no one, you know them all. Look at verse 46. They attended church together. And they, now I want you to kind of notice there, look at verse 37, it says they. There in verse 42 says they. Verse 41 says they. Verse 44 says all. Verse 45 says there. Verse 46 says they. I would think they're talking about the same people, don't you? Absolutely. Those that repented and believed on the Lord. And those who had their sins forgiven. And those that were indwelt by the Spirit of God. It was they tonight. They attended the church together. They attended the church together. Amen? And that's how we're going to overcome. That's how we're going to save ourselves tonight from this untoward generation, is that we have to continue to come to church. Got to continue. You see that the pews are most empty. So what's going on? Well, you know, I'm just saying tonight, if you're going to save yourself from this untoward generation, you're going to have to attend the church together. So that's what they did. I'm not making it up. It says they continued daily with one accord in the temple. Not only did they attend the church together, but they went outside the church together. Verse 46 says they went breaking bread from house to house. So not only did they come together at the church, but when they wasn't at the church, they were at their houses. House to house. So I wonder tonight, I mentioned this on Sunday, and I've got to hurry up to get to where I need to be. But the fact of the matter is, how many times do you go over to somebody else's house? How many times have you asked anybody to come over to your house and eat dinner? How about come over and just have coffee? How about just having something to do with somebody in this church that's a member of this church, that's visiting this church, that's part of this church, and you're home? The only time you see each other is at church. So tonight, if we're going to save yourselves from this untoward generation, we're going to have to find ourselves gathering on the outside of the church, gathering on the inside of the church. They look like they're just happy people. Verse 46 says, they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. See, that's who saves themselves from untoward generation. They're happy. Not sad sacks. I don't see, and I don't hear anybody talking about how bad Rome is. I don't hear anybody in this church, in this process of how they're going to save themselves, is talking about other countries, other men, other people doing this and people doing that, and how the murder rate is, and what is the abortion rate, and what is the same-sex marriage thought, and the homosexuality, and talk about this sin, that evil, that perverse thing. I'm talking about the society, how wrong and bad it is, and how ugly it is. I don't hear any of that conversation going on, but I hear that a lot of conversation going on with God's people, and that's why you're not even happy. You can't save yourselves from the untoward generation when that's all you're talking about is the untoward generation. 95% of your conversation is about this world. No happiness in that. We find here, fifthly, they have the same testimony together. The Bible says, praising God in verse 47, and having favor with all people. Having favor with all people. Listen, friend, that's the testimony that all of us should have with the world. Having favor with all people. They may not like what we believe, and they might not agree with the way we live, but they have respect. And they do have a favor that them people there believe what they believe, and they hold to it. They're not hypocrites. They're not people today who say one thing and do another. They say that they love God, they live loving God. They say they love Christ, they live living Christ. They say they're filled with the Holy Ghost of God, but then the Holy Ghost of God is seen through them and in them. Listen, they don't say one thing and do another. That's not this. How are we going to save ourselves from the untoward generation? We're going to have a church that complements one another, a church that comes together, a church that continues gathering tonight. The church looks the same, it lives the same, it loves the same, it likes the same. There's no divisions, no weaknesses, no holes for the enemy to come in. Now, I preached all that Sunday night. So let me get to Wednesday night. So we talked about the warriors, I want to talk about the weapons. the weapons. What is the weapons in this survival? Well, as we look at chapter 2 and we see that Peter was preaching and we see that about 3,000 souls were saved. We see there in verse 47 that God added to the church. And so now the church is growing. Now the church is moving forward and progressing. There's still the command and still the demand that Peter brought forth to him in verse 40. He said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. How did they do that? Well, they did it not only because they were warriors, but they did it because of some weapons in which God gave them. Number one, I want you to notice chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. We read that a while ago. But it's the boldness to name Jesus. See, that's the weapon tonight to be able to save yourself from this untoward generation is to have the boldness to name Jesus. In chapter 3, verse 1 through 6, we find that Peter and John went to the temple. While they were going to the temple, there was one who was begging, a beggar. As he was begging, he was asking for money. Peter said in verse 6, he said, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. To Peter and to John and to the church, Jesus was the authority. And tonight, in order for us to be those who save ourselves from this generation, we're going to have boldness to make sure that those who have any idea or any thought about what we believe or what we hold to is the authority of Jesus. It's the authority of Jesus that you're healed in. It's the authority of Jesus that demons are cast out. It's the authority of Jesus that you go to heaven. It's the authority of Jesus that God hears your prayer. It's the authority of Jesus that you have any salvation. It's the authority of Jesus that makes this world sustain in the axis that it's setting in. It's Jesus and His authority tonight that makes the world go around. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. No other authority beside Him. He is the authority. In order for you and I tonight to save ourselves from this untoward generation, we're going to have the boldness to name Jesus. You say, well, they're not going to like me. We're not talking about them liking us. We don't care about whether they like us or not. What we care about is saving ourselves from the untoward generation. And that will take place when you and I have a boldness to name Jesus as the authority, to name Jesus as the Son of God. Verses 13 through 16. He says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of our fathers hath glorified His Son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate, whom He determined to let Him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised Him from the dead, whereof you are witnesses. And His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Him hath given Him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Oh, it's Jesus, the Son of God, that must be named. Amen! Jesus is not just a Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God's dear Son. God is the only begotten Son. There's no other Son beside Him tonight. And friend, the Bible teaches us that if you don't believe the Son of God became in flesh, you have the spirit of the Antichrist. You can't even go to heaven. You can't be a Christian tonight. Not think that Jesus Christ is God. Friend, we got to name the name. We got to tell others that Jesus Christ is not only the authority, but He's the Son of God. He's God's Son this morning, this evening. Amen? We find number two, or three, that Jesus is Savior. Verses 19 through 26. The Bible says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. And when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. And then we find in verse 26, unto you first God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Jesus is Savior. You don't get saved by works. You don't get saved by religion. You don't get saved by baptism. You don't get saved by good looks or good works. You don't get saved by any other way but through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. You repent of your sin. You receive Christ as Lord and as Savior, and your sins will be forgiven. Amen. And that's what boldness must take place in the church today if you and I are ever going to save ourselves from this untoward generation. We're going to have to tell them with boldness, Jesus is the authority. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Savior of the world. You say, well, that ain't going to fare very good with that group. We're not caring about faring very well with that group. We're caring about saving ourselves from this untoward generation, aren't we? I mean, we're not real concerned about what White House is talking about. We don't care about what Pelosi or Schumer or even Trump has to say about it. We don't care about all the mayors and governors and all the police and all the fire chief and all the other authorities. We're not concerned about any of those. All we're concerned about is the Word of God and how we can save ourselves from this wicked, perverse, ungodly, perilous times that we live in. And it's going to be through boldness. Through boldness. God, church, help us tonight to be bold. Can I say here secondly, it's not to do boldness to name Jesus, but it's through courage to stand with Jesus. See, when the church begins to get bold, you're going to see a difference. When the church begins to have courage, you're going to see a difference. You know why tonight we are where we are? Preachers. Pastors. They're a bunch of dumb dogs that don't bark. They're a bunch of wimps that need to get out of the ministry. They're a bunch of mama boys that need to sit down. Because they don't want to preach. They don't want to tell the truth. They don't want to call out sin. They don't want to tell the truth about you and about what the Word of God has to say. And so they tell you what you want to hear. They tickle your ears because there's a group out there, the majority of them wants to hear that and wants to be tickled tonight. And so they don't go to churches. They don't go to places that's going to preach the Word of God with passion, with excitement, with zeal, with truth, and the conviction of the Holy Ghost of God that lays upon their heart and brings them to an uncomfortable position because of their sin, an uncomfortable position because of their life and the way they're living towards God tonight. They don't want that at all. And so the preachers are not going to preach it because the people won't come if they do. And we find our people now, the church, I believe, is 75 to 80% lost people are filling our church's pews, who have no power of God. They ain't got enough power to stop smoking. They ain't got enough power to stop looking at pornography. They ain't got enough power to put down the bottle. They ain't got enough power to stop cussing. How in the world do you think they got enough power to get to heaven tonight? They don't! You can't tell a Christian from a world anymore. It's like this, they said. The church has got worldly and the world's got churchy. And so we find tonight that everybody's mixed up. Everybody's messed up. Everybody's confused. Nobody knows what Christianity is anymore. Nobody knows what the Word of God says no more. Because preachers won't preach. And so we find tonight, people don't know. And so we have a country tonight, America tonight, who's in depth in sin, don't know what marriage is, don't care about killing babies tonight, don't even have any consideration for life anymore. It all started back in the pulpit some years ago. And now tonight, we're feeling the effects of it. What does a church need to do to come to the place to save ourselves from this untoward generation? We're going to have boldness, but courage. Courage to stand with Jesus. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. We find that they're coming under pressure. So we're going to have to stand with Jesus. That means we've got to speak of Jesus under pressure. Verse 10, the Bible says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even Him doth this man stand here before you whole." Now, if you go back up to verse 3, it says, "And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now even time. They put him in prison. They put him in jail. They took him and put handcuffs on him. They put him in bondage and said, listen, you do not speak this name Jesus. And then next thing you know, in verse 10, the Bible says they're speaking the name of Jesus. Amen. How they speaking Jesus? They just said to him that he's Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by doth this man stand here before you whole. And so we're going to have to find courage, even under pressure, to stand for Jesus and to speak his name. Amen. We can do it. We can be cowards like the rest. And we can plunge our country into deeper hell than where it's going to now. By Christians not saying nothing. By Christians not standing up for nothing. By Christians by not making their point and saying whom they believe in and whom they trust in tonight. Hey friend, you'll find this church under pressure, standing with Jesus, speaking of Jesus. This is Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified. And they didn't have any qualms about kind of softening it. kind of just making it where it don't hurt, or maybe covering up a little bit. None of that. Not with courage. Courage, you just let it fly. Courage, you just let it go. Courage, you just say, it's the way it is. Courage is, this is what thus saith the Lord. That's courage. Then we find that they had courage to stand for Jesus. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He died and resurrected. Verse 11. Jesus Christ the stone. Bible says, This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. So Jesus is the foundation. Jesus is the rock. They don't like that. They don't like that. He tells them not here, but in other places, that it was this rock, it was this foundation, it was Jesus who they stumbled upon. Then verse 12, he says, Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I mean, who's saying this? Now he must have some courage. It was Peter who, up in verse 2, was taken in a jail cell. Cut it out, man. Peter said, no, I got to save myself from this untoward generation. I'm going to stand with Jesus. I'm going to speak that He is Jesus of Nazareth. I'm going to speak that He is the foundation. I'm going to speak that He is the only way to salvation. The only way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. You're not getting there except through Christ. We got to have the courage to say it. If we're going to save ourselves from this untoward generation. Can I say here, thirdly, not only the boldness to name Jesus, but courage to stand with Jesus, but thirdly, to follow Jesus under persecution. Verses 14 through 21. Here in that chapter 4. It says, beholding the man was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. And when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth no to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak nor at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You know what they're saying? They're saying, I tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to follow Jesus. Whatever you might think, whatever you might have some kind of ideal about, what we're going to do is we're going to tell you, we're going to answer to you, we're going to give to you what we see and what we hear. We're going to follow Jesus. If you want to put us in jail, put us in jail. If you want to take our lives, take our lives. If you want to shut down the church, shut down the church. But there's something that you need to know. You can't stop the church.
The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We got to find a place in this untoward generation that we're just going to follow Jesus. Just follow Jesus. No matter how many threats we get, no matter how many people point their fingers at us, no matter how many times that we lose our Twitter account, how many times that we get thrown off of Facebook, how many times that we get shut off on social media, how many times that we just find ourselves as the odd man out. We just got to decide, following Jesus, that's how we're going to, on the bigger picture, save ourselves from the untoward generation. Because all the little players that we see in the world is just this a toy, just a tool in the hand of the devil. It's the generation that we want to save ourselves from, not them. And so we find we've got to follow Jesus under persecution. Obey God knowing the consequences. Speaking truth knowing the outcome. Fearing not man knowing the sufferings. This is why the church of this day survived. How it went through the untoward generation. How it come across. Can I say here thirdly tonight? It's trust in Jesus. I noticed tonight that this last weapon is a major weapon. As we look at it here, I want you to notice that I don't see any weapons of warfare in this passage. Do you? Chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. What I mean tonight, I don't see any guns. I don't see any knives. I don't see any swords. I don't see any other weapons of warfare. Bow and arrows, whatever you might want to bring forth in the mindset of in today's life, bombs or hand grenades or sticks or whatever. I don't see any of that warfare. Do you? We've read it. I don't see it. I don't see any weapons of words. For example, like to riot. I don't see no rioting. I don't see the church rioting against Rome. Do you? Do you see any protest? That's not God's way. You don't take signs and you don't take bulletins and you don't take billboards and you don't go about acting stupid. That's not God's way. We're not going to save ourselves from this untoward generation with knives and guns and ammo. And we're not going to do it with words. In the way of riots and protests and blockades and all these other things that seem to be very popular today. I don't see it in the Scripture though. I don't see any weapons of wills. For example, I don't see the church in the Bible here, chapters 2, chapters 3, chapters 4, saying, let's attack the enemy. You know that guy who put us in jail because we named the name of Jesus? Let's go back and get him. Let's burn down that jail. Let's go to his house and knock on his door. No. No weapons of wills attacking the enemy or provoking the enemy. Do you see any provoking of the enemy? Do you see any attacking? Do you see inciting the enemy? That's not Christian. That's not God's way. I'm going to show you God's way. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. That's how you're going to go through this and save yourself from the untoward generation. It's going to take courage. It's going to take boldness. It's going to take following. Fourthly and lastly, it's going to take trust. Trust. These are the weapons that God's given to us so that we can save ourselves from this perverse, evil, perilous times in which we live in. We find in this trust, I notice the weapons of God has He already given us: the Bible, fellowship, prayer, church, unity, joy, trust, God. See, they've been used, they've been applied, they've been tried, they've been believed in. We already went through all that in chapter 2. We come to this here, this weapon here though, chapter 4. Look here in verse 24. says, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of David, by the mouth of Thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against His Christ. For of a truth, against Thy holy child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word, stretching forth Thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. Now, we're coming to the end here when they come to Peter, they come to John, put them up, said, don't speak no more, let them go. They gathered them back again, said, do not speak in this guy's, in Jesus' name again. Oh, we're going to threaten you. We're going to threaten you with your life. And so now they come and tell the church all that's going on, all that's taking place. And the church did one thing. They trusted in the Lord. Right? They didn't bring out their guns. They didn't bring out their signs for rioting. They didn't bring out their words and their wheels about we're going to attack them, we're going to kill them, we're going to get them. None of that. They went to the Lord. They went to the Lord. Now, this weapon is above and beyond every weapon imaginable. We say, well, I heard today that there may be an atomic war between Russia and China and the U.S. This right here, this weapon, makes that atomic war, atomic bomb, like peanut butter. You're kidding me. You're kidding me tonight. There's not a weapon out there, atomic bomb including, can do what this weapon can do. And if we're going to save ourselves from this untoward generation, we got to get a hold of this last weapon called trust. Number one, don't you notice, in trust, we have the access to God. My, that's big. That's big. We, you and I, who are saved by the grace of God, who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We find ourselves in verse 4, and this is what it says. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. That means they were together. And the God and they were speaking to said, they said this, they said, Lord, Thou art God. And then He said this, which hath made heaven, earth, and the sea, and all that in them is. They said, we as a people, as a church, we can get a hold of God. And the God that we're getting a hold of isn't a moon God, isn't a sun God, isn't a fertility God. It is the God of creation. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of glory tonight. The One who formed the world, who created all that we see and even don't see. The very God that put the breath in us to breathe. The strength that we can even walk and even think tonight. The God who put the very chirp in the bird, and the bark in the dog, and the meow in the cat tonight, and the red of the rose and the smell of it tonight. That's the God tonight that we can reach at and touch. Atomic bomb? The access to God. Number two, the accuracy of God. Now, here is a quote in chapter verse 25 and 26 and 27 out of Psalms chapter 2. Now, turn with me here tonight. Psalms chapter 2. I am really hurrying. Does it seem like that? I got to get this in though. Psalm chapter 2. Prophecy. God says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Are you hearing what's being said here? Here in these first three verses, Peter is quoting to tell the church, and as they're praying to the Lord, they're praying back Psalms chapter 2 and say, Lord, you said this. You said they would rage. You said they would come against us. You said they'd come against the Lord and His Christ. You said, we're here now. I mean, they're against us. Just like you said it would be in chapter 2 of Psalms. And then I love this. Verse 4 says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. It's God. they're coming against my church. Oh, they're trying. Look at them little poor people. They got their little shotguns and they got their little bullets and they got all this thing. It goes boom, 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 boom. Do you not see that? Woo! That's the God tonight we pray to. That's the trust that we can put in. He said, while they got us surrounded, oh, while they got everything set up, while they got everything in order, they got all their rules, they got all their policies, they got all their agencies, they got all their roles like a duck. And man, they said, listen, they're going to come after you. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. They're raging. They're mad. They're angry. He said, I'm just laughing. Let's read more. He says, the Lord shall have them in derision. Not is he laughing, but he said, they're going to be all in confusion here soon. He goes on and says, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them with the sword of displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. That's Jesus. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. That's Jesus. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Easy. He said, I'll give it to you. All them heathens, you'll take care of those. You have the whole earth for your possession. And he goes and said, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Do you see any battle that he's losing? Do you see anything the church ought to be afraid of tonight? Do you see anything they want to walk around being fear of man, being fear of government, being fear of what people say? Where is that at? He goes on and says, be wise. Now he's talking to us. Now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put what? Their trust in the Lord. Amen. And so we're talking about trust tonight. The accuracy of God. God said it was going to happen. It did happen. He's in charge. He's laughing. He's going to put him in derision. What do you and I have to be worried about? Trust. Just trust Him. Can I say here, thirdly, the actions of God. Verse 28. This is the people of God speaking to the Lord here in this chapter 4. He says this. They said this. This is what we have to say to the Lord in the midst of this untoward generation. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. That's what we got to do. Trust the Lord. Lord, it's in your hands. You do as you please. You do what you want. Whatever your will is, it's my will. You do whatever you please. You do whatever you desire. You do whatever you just decide. That's what they're saying to the Lord of glory, the King of kings, the Lord of lords tonight. They're saying, listen, Lord, it's not about us. It's not about how we feel. It's not about what we think. It's not about what we are just contemplating on. It's just what you want. That's how you get to the place where you save yourself from an untoward generation. He goes on in verse 29. The effects of God. They say, and now, Lord, behold, their threatenings. Hear it, Lord. You see them. You see what they're doing. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word. Grant to us, Lord, the right path. See, that's how you overcome. That's how you come to the place of saving yourselves from this untoward generation. You say, God, your will be done. But in the meantime, Lord, just give us the path. Just show us how to do it. Show us what to say. God, we're not interested in fighting the world. We're not interested in changing all the evil out there. We're just interested in whatever you want us to be and do. But in the meantime, Lord, just give us the boldness to speak of Jesus. Give us the courage. Give us the ability to follow. Help us to trust in you. That's how we save ourselves from this untoward generation. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Verse 32, down verse 37, you find a repeat of chapter 2, verse 41 through 47. See, you can't stop the church if the church would just trust in the Lord. Because you could take out a portion of the church, God will replace it, replenish it. You can't remove the church from the earth. The only way that we're going to be taken out from the earth is the way of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the clouds. Right? You're not going to do anything else with us. So tonight, can we save ourselves from this untoward generation? Yes. How are we going to do that? Well, we're just going to continue gathering at church. We're going to continue being united. We're going to continue complimenting one another. We're going to continue to doing what God asks us to do. We're going to do it with courage. We're going to do it with boldness. We're going to do it following Him. And we're going to trust Him all the way. And we come out at the end. I promise you, we win. We win. I like winning, don't you? I do. I want to win I want to win in Uno. I don't want to lose at anything. If God be for me, who could be against me? I like that. Amen? We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Get your head up, church. We got a reason and a purpose to live. We don't have to be taken over by this untoward generation. We can overcome it tonight. Save ourselves. We don't have to be like everybody else. We'd have to be like Jesus. Amen? All right, let's stand to our feet tonight. I'm glad I got that in. I hope that was a help to you. I just want to encourage you tonight. It's not all over. It's not close to being finished. Jesus has not come yet. So we still got work to do. Amen? We're living in victory. Victory in Christ tonight. Any prayer requests? Any prayer requests? Anybody? Yeah, brother.